Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your number one source for the latest in WWE news and straightforward analysis.
Are you ready to get this thing going?
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
Then let's get this show started right now.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the SmackDown Review right here on the WWE Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Michael Ritter. You can find me on Twitter at Michael5Ritter and on Instagram at MichaelRitter5. And today we're going to be talking about the SmackDown that aired on March 26th, 2021. Pretty eventful SmackDown, the first after Fastlane. And we do get a couple WrestleMania matches announced, as well as some action throughout the night. And then, of course, some backstage segments. These ones actually featured Roman Reigns and Adam Pearce, basically kind of keeping you interested in what his final decision is going to be regarding the Universal Championship and the main event at WrestleMania. And we do end up getting that answer, and we will certainly get there at some point in the episode. But before we get there, guys, I want to thank you all for listening to this episode. If you're a first-time listener, thank you for choosing this podcast. It definitely means a lot to me. And if you're a regular listener, thank you for making this part of your weekly routine. Of course, you guys know how I feel about that. I look forward to doing this for you every week, so I'm just glad that you guys continue to listen to this show, and I hope you will continue to do so. Really quick, though, guys, before I get into the SmackDown review, which, of course, is why all of you are here, I did want to mention a little bit of personal news really quickly, and that is, over the past couple weeks, I actually did drop my very own podcast. It's actually called Football Function. It's an NFL football show, so 2 episodes a week normally. That's how we're doing it right now. I've already done a full division breakdown series, and I'm about to get into NFL draft prep. And this show is mainly going to be, I mean, it's really going to quote-unquote butter its bread in the regular season. That's mainly what the show was created for, and it's been in the works for a very long time. But it wasn't able to happen whenever I initially wanted to do it, but it finally did get started off the ground. And I am happy to say that I do finally have my own football show. So if there are any football fans out there that just have an interest in the NFL and things like that, and you just want to hear another show that's hosted by me, I mean, feel free to come over and listen. Like I said, it's on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. So definitely all the sources that you, or all the platforms that you can possibly think of, it's most likely going to be there. But nothing is going to change as far as me staying here on the WWE podcast. I mean, I will be the host of the SmackDown review for as long as Matt will have me. So nothing's going to change there. This was kind of always the plan, was for me to get a football podcast. I mean, whenever I took the position to host the SmackDown review, I knew all along that eventually I was going to have a football show. So this has always kind of been the plan. Like I said, I'm not going anywhere, so I don't want you guys to assume anything like that or nothing. This is just kind of another podcast for me to get more experience and stuff like that. So if there are any football fans out there, feel free to come and check it out. I'll definitely appreciate it. But all right, enough of that stuff. We should be good to go ahead and dive right in here to the SmackDown review. And that's why you guys are all here. So I'm sure you're happy to hear that. But this SmackDown started with Daniel Bryan coming to the ring with a steel chair. And he comes and reminds us all what we saw at Fastlane, which was Roman Reigns tapping out for the very first time in his career, supposedly. And he says that in a perfect world, that would mean that Daniel should be standing in the ring as the Universal Champion and going to the main event of WrestleMania. And he says that the reason he didn't win is because Edge hit him in the back with a steel chair. And he adds that he's fed up with saying, or with standing on the sidelines, while other people have dream matches that they quote-unquote didn't earn, which I kind of think that was a little bit of a stretch. Edge clearly won his spot, but I mean, I guess I know what he's trying to say, so nothing too bad there. But he also says that he's not afraid to earn it himself all over again. And he follows by asking for a rematch against Roman Reigns. And he says he's not leaving the ring until he gets what he wants, then sits in that chair in the middle of the ring. And after sitting there for an entire commercial break and even longer, Adam Pearce finally comes out and apologizes in advance to Daniel for not being able to give him what he wants, which is that rematch against Roman Reigns tonight. And Adam Pearce then confirms that Roman Reigns' next title defense is going to be against Edge at WrestleMania. And Daniel suggests that he gets a championship match immediately following that WrestleMania match, but Pearce squashes that almost immediately, which leads Daniel Bryan to say, well, that's a little bit of a double standard, considering that he had to face Roman Reigns immediately after going 40 minutes in the Elimination Chamber. And Daniel continues to suggest ways for himself to get involved in the title picture at WrestleMania. And his next attempt was saying that Edge and Roman can have their match on Saturday night, which is night one. And on Sunday night, Daniel can face the winner. And Adam Pearce seems to be considering that suggestion. And while he's pondering it over, Edge's music hits. And he makes a beeline to the ring. And he actually knocks the mic out of Adam Pearce's hands before he did that. But he does have some words for Daniel Bryan. And he basically cuts right to the point. He just tells Daniel, "You lost twice. What are you doing? Trying to ruin my moment," pretty much is what he's trying to say. "You got two chances to beat Roman Reigns. One at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view and then one at Fastlane. You lost both of them. It's not my fault." And basically he's trying to say that he's trying to ruin Daniel Bryan, that is, trying to ruin Edge's little fairy tale situation he's got going on, because he said the second night of WrestleMania is actually 10 years to the day of the night he announced his retirement. And he just claims that Daniel Bryan's trying to take that away from him. He's saying that because he won the Royal Rumble, outlasted 29 other men at one, he's guaranteed a spot at WrestleMania. He doesn't understand why Daniel Bryan is trying to do what he's doing to sneak his way into the picture. And he just flat out tells Daniel Bryan that he does not deserve that match. And he had a few choice words for him right after that as well that I can't repeat on this show. But it was a pretty damn good promo from Edge. He came out, he's passionate. I love this version of Edge. And he actually continues doing things similar to that throughout the night. So we definitely see a lot more of both of these guys before the show is over. Moving on here, we get Roman Reigns shown backstage. And he just saw what happened with Adam Pearce, the first segment with Daniel Bryan and Edge. So he tells Paul Heyman to go find Adam Pearce. And after Paul Heyman leaves the locker room, he tells Jey Uso to go with him. But he makes sure to add, or he tells Jey Uso to use force if he has to. And I don't know why, but that kind of just reminded me of Star Wars a little bit. Just Roman Reigns' vibe in that segment. He kind of seemed like Chancellor Palpatine. If any of you guys know Star Wars, you probably know what I'm talking about. If not, you probably just think that that was super nerdy for me to say. But either way, after that, Jey Uso asks if he's sure that he wants him to use force to get Adam Pearce. And Roman says, "Yeah, what are they going to do, fire us?" I mean, he does have a point there. So moving on here, we get Seth Rollins versus Shinsuke Nakamura. This was a rematch from Fastlane. And I just love this matchup. I mean, I would watch these guys fight every week. They just work so well together, and their styles mesh just perfectly. And this was a back-and-forth match that lasted about 10 to 12 minutes. Nakamura tried to hit the Kinshasa, but Seth Rollins countered. But Shinsuke still manages to get Seth in the armbar, but he doesn't have it locked in quite well enough. Shinsuke Nakamura ends up losing control. Seth hits the stomp, picks up the win. And after the match, Seth tries to continue his attack on Shinsuke. But Cesaro comes out in street clothes, I might add, and mops the floor with Seth Rollins, nearly putting him through the spin cycle, but Seth narrowly escapes. And we do see a little bit more of these two guys also as the show goes on. But before that, we see Roman Reigns. He's again in his locker room. But this time, they show that Paul Heyman and Jey Uso, they succeeded in bringing Adam Pearce to Roman Reigns' locker room. And Paul begins to tell Adam Pearce that he's lucky that he didn't let the guys out there pressure him into making a very bad decision. And as Paul was talking, Roman Reigns stands up, makes Paul Heyman immediately shut up just by doing it. It's not like he told him to shut up, but as Roman stands up, as you would expect, Paul Heyman shuts up. And he basically tells Adam Pearce that at WrestleMania, he only gets one night of Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns is only making one title defense. And Pearce says that he understands Roman's point, but there's still many things that he has to think about. And everyone will have his decision by the end of the night. And that is certainly what happens. He gives us his decision. And we actually see Adam Pearce have more encounters with almost, I mean, he does have an encounter with everybody who is involved in this. He has one with Daniel Bryan and Edge. And then obviously the segment at the very end of the show where he does make his decision. So a lot of Adam Pearce here in this episode, which we haven't really been seeing a lot of him on SmackDown. So I'm not necessarily complaining about that. But like I said, we see a little bit more of Seth Rollins. He's shown backstage with Caleb Braxton, and Seth does challenge Cesaro to a match at WrestleMania, and he swears that he will never be put in the spin cycle or swung, whichever one you want to call it. He'll never be put in that move by Cesaro again, and he says never, never, like he's repeating never like three times, and as he's saying that, he's attacked from behind by Cesaro and does in fact go for a swing. So I thought that was pretty funny that that happened right away. And then immediately after that, Cesaro accepts his challenge. So that was one of the WrestleMania matches that is announced. Seth Rollins versus Cesaro. And that is immediately going to be a candidate for match of the night. That's what I wrote down as soon as this match was officially announced. I'm definitely going to be excited for it. You know, both guys are going to bring their A game. If I'm not mistaken, Cesaro has never had a one-on-one match at WrestleMania, so I couldn't really think of a better dance partner for him to have than Seth Rollins. And Seth probably just wants to look back and think about all the WrestleManias that he had and think about his opponents that he's had. He has a pretty strong list of opponents, so this is only going to add to that list and make it even more impressive whenever it's all said and done and Seth Rollins is reflecting on all of his WrestleMania matches that he's had, because he has been involved in some pretty big WrestleMania matches as well. A lot of people were kind of down on his last year's match with Kevin Owens. I feel like that might have been a little bit better if they were able to do it in Raymond James Stadium. I'm sure they had some things planned and kind of had to settle for Kevin Owens just jumping off the WrestleMania sign. I'm sure that Seth Rollins will definitely have a better WrestleMania performance this year now that they will actually be in Raymond James Stadium, and he will be working with a guy like Cesaro, so that's something to look forward to. Let's see here. Moving on, we get a six-man tag match. Big E and the Street Profits versus Apollo Crews and the Alpha Academy. One thing I noticed here, Apollo came out with like a scepter-looking thing. I'm not sure what it was exactly. It wasn't like a cane or anything like that, but it was unique-looking and definitely jumped off. So I hope that that's something he continues to bring out with him, because it definitely adds a little bit to his character. And I want to see him use it on somebody, to be honest. I want to see him smack somebody with that thing. So hopefully he will continue to do that. But for six-man tag matches, usually they're kind of wacky and they kind of, you know, aren't very, I mean, they're entertaining, but they're not really a match that you want to get too invested in, because you know it's most likely just a filler. But this was actually a pretty good match. I mean, definitely entertaining. And it was good work from pretty much everybody involved. After Montez Ford basically took out everybody with one of those jumps over the ropes, knocks them all out outside of the ring, Apollo ended up stealing a win by sneaking up behind Big E and hitting him with, I think that's a new finisher. I actually remember somebody pointing it out in the mailbag that it resembles the angle slam, and I do agree it does resemble that. And I actually had to rewind it to make sure that that was his finisher, and that's what he did, and he did pin Big E. So he pinned the Intercontinental Champion clean, basically clean. I mean, it was a six-man tag match. Things like that happen all the time, so you can just expect that in the coming weeks, you're definitely going to get a Big E versus Apollo Crews match at WrestleMania. I'm not sure if it's going to be a one-on-one singles match, because it seemed like Seth Rollins and Cesaro, as well as another match that gets announced later, were both just regular one-on-one singles matches. And it's kind of crazy to think about that they would actually put that many non-title one-on-one just regular wrestling matches on a paper or on a WrestleMania card. But I guess whenever you have two nights that you're trying to fill and you have all these talented performers, why not just stick them on the card at some point? But really quickly, I do want to, without getting too off topic, add my thoughts about the whole one-night format versus two-night format at WrestleMania, because I know that there is a little bit of a, at least, I don't want to say a division in the WWE fans, but I know that there are certain people who feel both ways about it, so I kind of want to just tell you guys how I feel real quick. And it's kind of hard to you know, actually be on one side, because I understand both sides. You know, like, I understand, I mean, number one, I want to say I don't think WrestleMania should be as long. So the people who kind of make the argument, well, I'd rather have it broken down into two nights so I don't have to watch a 6 or 7 hour show. Well, for one, the show shouldn't be 6 or 7 hours. So there's really no need for you to break it down into two nights. But I do certainly agree. If you're making me choose between 2 3-hour shows or 1 6-hour show, of course, I'm going to take the 3-hour show all day and just have two nights of WrestleMania, because I do think that is cool. But at the same time, I do think it takes away a little bit. I mean, if WrestleMania is supposed to be the Super Bowl of wrestling, the Super Bowl is only one day. I mean, it's Super Bowl Sunday. WrestleMania Sunday is right up there with it. So I kind of look at it in that perspective where just for as long, I mean, literally up until last year, WrestleMania has always been on one day. I am kind of old school in that regard. I do think that it should be, you know, the grandest stage of them all. Eventually, they might get the hint that, well, maybe all these guys don't deserve a participation trophy and they don't all have to be on the card, because I do think it meant something back in the day to get on the WrestleMania card, because they really did only put the best of the best. But long story short, if they're going to continue to have these just unbelievably long shows, then yeah, go ahead and keep doing the two-night format. But me personally, I think the better idea would just go back to having a maybe 4.5-hour show at the most. That's a damn good WrestleMania. Have like 6 or 7 matches, however many. I just don't think you have to have all of these extra matches to get everybody involved. I mean, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal should be enough to get everybody in, or at least on the WrestleMania show itself. And me personally, I think that should always be like a routine pre-show, or maybe even just kick off the show. I don't think it should be anywhere in the mid-card or anywhere like that. But that's just basically what I wanted to add my thoughts. I'm not really passionate either way. I just have always kind of thought WrestleMania belongs on one night, lets you guys remember it, because it is kind of, it's kind of just weird just knowing that there's two nights of WrestleMania. I don't know. I'm just not used to it yet. I feel like if they were to make this the consistent format, it would grow on me and I'd probably get used to it. But if you are making me pick, obviously the show is going to be long, do two nights. But the best way to do it is just to have a decently long show on one night. But without getting too much more off topic, I guess you can say, with the whole WrestleMania thing, I will take a couple steps back and continue on with the SmackDown review. And it looks like we're here with Adam Pearce, and he's approached by Edge backstage. Like I said, he gets approached by multiple people backstage. This time it's Edge, and he basically repeats what he's already said 30 times. I won the Royal Rumble. Daniel Bryan was in the Royal Rumble, so why is he here? Yada, yada, yada. You already know what Edge is going to say at this point. And basically, Adam Pearce says that his responsibilities are for the WWE. Not Edge, not Roman, not Daniel Bryan. He's going to make sure that he has his decision by the end of the night, and everybody is going to know it. And this is where Edge kind of turns a sharp right turn, I guess you can say, in the night. Because he does, I mean, he's been that aggressive, you know, vicious guy for basically the entire show. But I mean, especially when you look at the start, it did end up being a brawl. He came out immediately, was cutting straight to the point with Daniel Bryan, and I mean, push came to shove and they ended up getting into it. It really doesn't change here, but he does just take it a little bit to the next a little bit further, maybe to the next step, because he tells Adam Pearce, well, you better make the right decision or else. And then he walks away, and right then that told me, all right, Edge is not going to like what happens at the end of the show, so you can expect his lid to blow off at some point. And it actually does, but we'll definitely get there towards the end of the show. Moving on here, we get a Kevin Owens show with Sami Zayn as a special guest. And Kevin Owens is noticeably in fighting clothes with his wrist tape. Sami comes out and he says he's sorry for what he did last week and promises that next week, he basically says that he's going to break some exclusive news right here on the Kevin Owens show. And the exclusive breaking news is that next week, Sami is going to reveal his documentary series and expose WWE for the conspiracy against him. And apparently Logan Paul is going to be a guest honor at the red carpet premiere is what he was calling it. And Kevin Owens says that he doesn't care about the documentary. He doesn't care about Logan Paul or Sami's conspiracy theories. But as he's going on, Sami Zayn interrupts him, who starts to get a little bit heated himself, and he starts to banter on about how Kevin Owens is wrong, and he should be the one who apologizes. But Kevin Owens hears enough, and he literally yells at Sami and tells him to shut up and answer his question. The question ends up being a challenge to a match at WrestleMania, and Sami eventually accepts. And Kevin actually said, the only reason why I'm letting you stand here and not beating you senseless is because I need to get this answer yes or no. So he said that multiple times, and then after he finally got the answer, he does just that, and he starts to beat Sami. And he beats him inside the ring, and then eventually they go outside of the ring, where Kevin Owens returns the favor from last week and nearly decapitates Sami with a clothesline. That's one of those spots I'm telling you guys about. You need to go back and watch it if you missed it, because that was just a brutal bump. And Kevin Owens, he's just not a guy you want to get clotheslined by. I mean, he's absolutely huge. And you could just tell that Sami Zayn hit that mat pretty hard, or he hit the outside of the ring pretty hard. That's even worse. But like I said, that match gets announced. We all kind of saw it coming last week. It did get a little bit of a quick build. Really only took about 3 weeks. This is only the third week that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have been involved with each other. And now we already get a WrestleMania one-on-one match. So hopefully there is a little bit of more build as we get closer. But we really don't have a lot of time. So that's why you kind of saw matches get really thrown in there tonight, so we can kind of fill up the card and you can get an idea for what's going to happen. And the matches that do get announced will get a little bit more of a build for, like I said, the last couple weeks before we get to WrestleMania. And that's always exciting, because these are always the episodes of Raw and SmackDown that are really juicy, always during WrestleMania, leading up to WrestleMania. They want to get you hooked and want to get you excited for the pay-per-view, so they usually try to put their best foot forward. That's always one thing I've always been excited about watching this time of year. As you know, WWE is not going to hold back. Sometimes they do, but normally whenever they're holding back, it's because they want to have something big for after WrestleMania. But for the most part, you know they're going to deliver and try their best to give you a pretty good product. So I will give credit where it's due right there. Moving on in the show, we continue our Adam Pearce trend. This time he's approached by Daniel Bryan, but it's a much different approach than whenever he was approached by Edge. Daniel kind of walks up and he's calm. He tells Adam Pearce, hey, I used to be the SmackDown general manager, which I did notice right there. That was the first time that Adam Pearce has been called the general manager. I don't know if that was on purpose, if it might have slipped out, but I did notice that Daniel Bryan called Adam Pearce the general manager. He says, well, I used to be the SmackDown general manager, so I know what you're going through. I know the pressure that you're dealing with every week. And he says, I feel like you know what the right decision is. You just need to make it. And he walks away. So right then, you kind of knew what was going to happen. If you didn't already know, you kind of knew that Adam Pearce was going to make it official that this is going to be a triple threat match. But moving on here, we get a one-on-one match, Bianca Belair versus Natalya. And Bianca has a backstage interview with Kayla Braxton before the match where Kayla asks her what she was trying to say by pointing at the WrestleMania sign after she was slapped by Sasha last week. Or not Fastlane. That's when she was slapped by Sasha at Fastlane. And I'm glad they addressed it because I thought that was kind of weird that she obviously didn't retaliate and she just pointed at the sign. I think they know that that was probably a stupid decision. But she basically says, look, I'm bigger than Sasha. I'm stronger than Sasha. Obviously, I could have just completely demolished her right there. But she says that her mom raised her better to basically be the bigger person, especially whenever there's business involved. So she says that on Sunday or last Sunday, she had to be the bigger person. So at WrestleMania, she can be the better person and basically be the SmackDown Women's Champion, which is what I think is inevitably going to happen. But that's all we pretty much get from the backstage interview. Now we get a one-on-one match with Bianca and Natalya. And Sasha comes out about 3 minutes into the match, supposedly to be a guest on commentary, but it was really timed perfectly to cause a distraction. And then Tamina hit the most pathetic super kick I have ever seen in my entire life. This is one that you guys got to go watch. I mean, I can't even justify. I'm not even going to go any further on it. Just go watch it if you didn't see it, because it was just absolutely terrible. But basically that super kick, and that's in big air quotes, was used so Natalya can take control of the match, which she does. And Sasha was running her mouth the entire time on commentary. And she eventually takes off the headset to get a little bit closer to Bianca when Bianca was outside of the ring. So Sasha gets a little bit closer to try to taunt her. But Bianca hits her with a slap of her own. It was definitely a pretty hard slap. It wasn't as, you know, quite as smooth and of a solid connection as Sasha. Sasha just got that slap down. But basically, after that, Bianca gets in the ring, hits Natalya with the kiss of death, picks up the win. And almost immediately after that, she's hit with the bank statement. And Sasha Banks is the one who is left standing. And that seems to be the trend here. I mean, Bianca has really not even gotten the upper hand on Sasha at all. I really can't remember the last time that Bianca was the one that was left looking good in these situations. If I were to guess, it would probably be around one of the times where they were dealing with the SmackDown or just the women's tag team champions, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, who were not on SmackDown tonight. I certainly was not complaining, not necessarily in terms of Shayna. I don't mind Shayna at all. Nia definitely annoys the crap out of me. So whenever I saw that they were not on the show with Reginald, it was basically like Stone Cold Steve Austin said, give me a hell yeah, because I definitely would have joined him right there. But let's see. Okay, Edge actually storms Roman Reigns' locker room here, and this was a pretty interesting segment because obviously we haven't seen anybody do it. And even Roman Reigns said, hey, I mean, that took a lot of balls, kind of impressive. But he does say, you better get to the point and say what you got to say, otherwise I'm going to release the pit bull, talking about Jey Uso. And Edge points out, yeah, I had that workout for him last week, which I thought was pretty funny. They do keep portraying Jey Uso as somebody who you don't want to be attacked by. And I will say, Jey Uso is on probably the best run of his career, and he is a phenomenal wrestler, putting on some great main events. But he's usually left laying down or he's beaten. These guys usually get the upper hand. Daniel Bryan and Edge get the upper hand on Jey Uso. So they keep saying that he's going to release him or whatever, and Edge finally puts out, like, dude, I just, like, kicked his ass last week. Go ahead and release him. I'm not scared at all. I just thought that was kind of funny. But Edge basically just, I mean, this was kind of cool. He just approaches Roman Reigns and says, look, Daniel Bryan is trying to steal our spotlight. And just in case you don't know the rules, you're living under a rock. If he's in the match, that would mean that I don't have to pin you to take your championship. And he basically says, you say you got all this pull around here. Well, now might be a good time for you to use some of it. And I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, Edge is doing some damn good work right now. In the ring, on the mic. I love seeing what I'm seeing, especially tonight. Tonight was just that night where we got that intense version of him throughout the entire show. He wasn't calm. He wasn't happy-go-lucky at all. He was just giving us the Edge that we all remember. So I was definitely looking forward to that. Just this vicious version of him. It's always my favorite version of Edge. But this isn't the last time we see them. Like I said, we get one more segment with Adam Pearce, Roman Reigns, and the other guys. But that's at the very end. Before we get there, we do have a one-on-one match. Rey Mysterio versus Dolph Ziggler. Rude is in Ziggler's corner here. They actually come out first. Dominic obviously is going to be in Rey Mysterio's corner. And they showed Rey Mysterio and Dominic come out. And obviously, one thing I want to talk about here is their entrance. Obviously, whenever they were planning it, choreographing it, just making it up, basically just deciding what they were going to do with their entrance now that they're officially a tag team, you can tell that it's supposed to be for fans. I mean, they pander to the crowd. They each go to both corners, and they just switch spots. But that's not even what I'm talking about here, even though I do think that's weird that they still do that despite there not being any fans in the arena. That's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about is, why the hell does Rey Mysterio jump on Dominic's back and like ride him like a horse on the way to the ring? I mean, I just don't understand why you would do that. I mean, I'm not like ranting about it or anything like that. It's just one of those things that I'm just like, dude, what the hell? Like, you're supposed to be a professional wrestler. That's your son, and you're jumping on his back like you're some little kid. I mean, I don't know. That's just one of those things that I definitely don't expect to see Rey Mysterio do what he does. So not necessarily complaining about it. It's one of those things that kind of made me laugh tonight. Like, I was like, dude, what the hell are you doing? But anyways, and one thing I want to add here real quick. Dominic was wearing a pretty badass Eddie Guerrero shirt. I don't know if it is for sale or anything like that, but I just noticed that he was wearing a pretty cool Eddie Guerrero shirt, so that was definitely good to see. But as far as the match goes, there was a pretty short back and forth inside of the ring before Ziggler sends Rey Mysterio over the barricade, and while Dominic is trying to check on him to see if he's okay, Dominic kicks him in the back of the head. And we go to a commercial break and come back, and this match actually goes on a lot longer than I expected it to. Rey Mysterio was about to hit a 619, but Rude steps in front of him. That causes Dominic to jump in the ring and attack Rude. They eventually work their way as they're still fighting outside of the ring. But for some reason, instead of focusing on the guy you're wrestling against, Dolph Ziggler, I mean, your son literally just came in and basically saved the day, took the guy who tried to cheap shot you out of the ring. He's got him, Dolph Ziggler, and you can continue doing what you're about to do to Dolph. But instead, for some reason, Rey Mysterio tries to like jump on the ropes and do a move outside of the ring to Robert Rude. That does cost him, though, right there, because Dolph Ziggler catches him, counters into a zigzag, and it was pretty impressive. I can definitely say I've never once said, wow, that was an impressive zigzag, and I'm not saying he's never had one. Obviously, whenever Dolph Ziggler was at the height of his career back in like 2009, 2011, I'm honestly not sure. I mean, I didn't watch back then, so I wasn't watching whenever Dolph Ziggler was doing his best work. So don't come at me if I got those dates wrong. But basically, what I'm saying is I haven't necessarily seen Dolph do anything like that. So it's kind of cool to see. It made his move look a little bit cooler than what he normally does. But that zigzag wasn't really enough to put Rey Mysterio down. He actually kicks out at like 2.5. I was actually surprised. I was like, what the hell? I thought for sure that it was over after he hit that move, but that was not the case. And Rey Mysterio does finally hit that successful 619, pick up the win to pin one half of the tag team champions. I do expect a number one contenders match to happen pretty soon with the Street Profits, Mysterio's Alpha Academy. I can't see how you pick one of those teams. They're all kind of even, like neck and neck. They all kind of have gotten a win here recently, if you're kind of paying attention to that. And that just basically tells you it's going to be a fatal four-way. I would bet money on that. I think that there's just really no other way you can go. It doesn't really matter who wins. I feel like all these teams maybe have a legit shot at winning. Maybe the guys with the least chance of winning is the Alpha Academy. I could see them wanting to give Rey Mysterio and his son that WrestleMania moment, letting them finally win the tag team championship. So I would probably put my money on the Mysterios winning if it does go to a fatal four-way. But that's still speculation. We have to see what happens over the next couple weeks. But at the very least, probably a number one contenders match to see who's going to get a shot at those tag team titles. And then probably some wacky finish, disqualification. Adam Pearce is going to come out and say, well, we got to have a fatal four-way. Or it'll just get announced on social media without any type of reasoning or explanation behind it. But moving on here to the final segment of the show. Adam Pearce makes his decision for the main event at WrestleMania for the Universal Championship. One thing I noticed here, and actually I'm almost positive because they made sure to leave Roman Reigns out there for a while, it sounded like they were piping in the "you tapped out" chants. So definitely trying to hit home the fact that he tapped out. Just one little side note here, little wrestling story on the side. One of the very first, not first, but I mean the first WWE shows I went to, because I went to a couple in the 90s that were WCW, but the first ever WWE show I went to was here in Canyon, Texas, and the show was literally called WrestleMania Revenge. It was a house show, live event, so obviously no titles are going to change, but it was like a month after. I wish I knew the exact date, but it was a month after WrestleMania 20. Triple H versus Chris Benoit was the main event of that house show. Obviously, Chris Benoit won that match, but I just remember hearing the "you tapped out" chants, which were obviously in reference to Triple H tapping out at WrestleMania 20. So anytime I hear those "you tapped out" chants, I could just remember being there in that arena, hearing everybody chant them around me. It was just a pretty cool experience and just like really nostalgic. So I kind of hope everybody else, at least wrestling fans, have those type of memories where things that happen in current wrestling can kind of take you back to your younger years or whenever you really were just into wrestling as a kid. You know, I mean, it's obviously wrestling. If you're a true wrestling fan, you're always going to love it. But nobody is going to, you know, hold it against you if you say that an era from a long time ago was your favorite or those are the ones that you really enjoy. A lot of people probably only use the WWE Network to watch that. I know I have some friends who don't care at all what happens in wrestling right now. All they care about is the things that they know about. They want to see the stars that they remember. And that's exactly why the WWE Network exists. So I guess they are pleasing multiple masters, I guess you can say, with that network. And I definitely know that it is a good thing. But again, getting back to the segment here, Edge, Daniel Bryan, they both eventually come out as well. So you got all three of them out there. And Pearce does eventually announce that it will be a triple threat match at WrestleMania for the Universal Championship. Immediately after that, all hell breaks loose. And Edge definitely unleashes that killer instinct, that side of him that we've all been waiting for, because all hell breaks loose. Edge basically beats the hell, and he spears the hell out of Roman Reigns. That was the best spear from Edge I've seen in a long time. He spears Jey Uso too, but the spear that he had on Roman Reigns was just beautiful. And then after that, he takes a steel chair to both Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns as they're laying basically just senseless in the ring. Jey Uso tries to jump in and stop him. He ends up getting a chair shot, maybe a couple as well. And this is where it gets interesting. A couple WWE officials, I noticed one of them was Jamie Noble, so you know that it probably was not too many guys that are very high up on the WWE ranks, but a couple WWE officials try to come out there and stop Edge, and even they get hit with a chair, so Edge is definitely, here it is, guys, that corporate word. Edge is sending a message loud and clear about what version of himself he's bringing to WrestleMania. And keep in mind that triple threat matches are a no DQ, so expect this thing to get very messy. Jey Uso is probably going to get involved. This thing is going to be just a complete mess. It's hard to predict who's going to win because there are some legit possibilities for all these outcomes. Daniel Bryan's probably not going to win. You can go ahead and probably write that home. But the possibility of Edge winning and Roman Reigns winning I think the chances are pretty damn close. Obviously, the guy who wins the Royal Rumble, I'm not sure what the exact percentage is, but he has a pretty damn good chance of winning that title. But, you can't really compare what Roman Reigns is right now to all those other Royal Rumble winners who beat the champions, just because Roman Reigns is in a world of his own right now. I think it would make all the sense in the world to have Roman Reigns hold on to the championship and keep going on a long title run. Why wouldn't he? If you think about Vince McMahon, how long he's waited for Roman Reigns to be this hot, you think he's just going to make him drop the title right now? Hell no. At WrestleMania, I think Daniel Bryan is in this match to save Edge, more so to save Roman Reigns. I think Daniel Bryan is here so Edge doesn't have to get pinned. And I think that Edge is going to continue this frustration. Like, oh my God, USOB, you cost me my championship. And oh, after WrestleMania, we might get that Daniel Bryan versus Edge one-on-one program, which I'm sure a lot of people are looking forward to. But that's getting way, that's for sure getting the wagon ahead of the horse right there. So we will continue just talking about things that are going to happen at WrestleMania until we get there. And it's just, I mean, like I said, it's going to be tough to predict, but I pretty much just convinced myself that Roman Reigns is going to walk out of WrestleMania as the Universal Champion. But none of that is set in stone, obviously. It's all hypotheticals. Normally, I completely bomb my pay-per-view predictions. I will say, though, Fastlane, I don't know if any of you guys pay attention, but I was pretty spot-on with those picks. But I will admit that, yeah, pay-per-views before that haven't necessarily been in my favor. But hey, keep shooting, and eventually you are going to make them. But that should just about do it for my SmackDown review. I definitely enjoyed doing it. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. I'm looking forward to the next time I get to hop on here and talk wrestling with you guys. This is a great time to be a wrestling fan, a great time to be invested in everything that's going on. But, I mean, it's just WrestleMania season. This is what we look forward to every year. It's like the playoffs, so I'm just, you know, ecstatic to be able to have this podcast and be able to talk wrestling with you guys on a weekly basis. I also hope that you guys are checking out all the other shows that are on this network. I believe there's 8 other shows, not counting this one, throughout the week. I mean, it's just pretty cool to think about for wrestling fans. I mean, you got all the content you could possibly need, a show or a review show for every single show that you get from AEW, NXT, Raw, SmackDown. It is a absolute honor and privilege to be a part of this team, and I love doing SmackDown for you guys. So I am looking forward to next week when I get to do it again. But with that being said, I hope you guys all have a great weekend. Hope you guys all have a great week. Walk passionately in the direction of your dreams, and I'll talk to you soon.